Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." The Church of Christ at Wasilla cordially invites you to come visit us at the Pavilion at Wonderland Park, May 30th to June 3rd, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. to learn more about the fundamentals of faith from the Bible. For more information, visit churchofchristwasilla.com. Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Good morning. I'm Wendell Fikes. The word identification is a household word. We need personal identification, or IDs, as it is sometimes called, often. To drive, we need a driver's license. Sometimes identification is required to write a check. An ID, driver's license, or passport is required to get on an airplane. The church that Jesus built has identification marks likewise. The identification marks of the church that Jesus built are recorded in Scriptures. Several identification marks are found in the Old Testament Scriptures, but today we will primarily study the New Testament identification marks of the church that Jesus built. Open your Bibles with me, and we'll examine some of the identification marks of the church that Jesus built. Note, please, we are appealing to the Scriptures, not to creeds, not to councils, not to synods, not conventions, not to the disciplines or meetings of a group of men or women. First of all, let's identify the founder of Jesus' church. He said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus is the founder of His church. And as we go along, I want to ask you this question. Was Jesus the founder of the church that you attend? Secondly, the foundation. The Bible says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. The doctrines and the teachings of Christ form the basis and foundation of His church. Again, we ask, does the church you attend follow manuals and creeds and doctrines of men prepared and made in conventions? Or do they follow the Bible only? Are the teachings of the church you attend written and approved by men and women in synods, councils, conventions, conference, and are they settled by representative votes of the majority of those members of those various councils and conventions? If so, ladies and gentlemen, then the foundation of your church is not Christ Jesus. While Jesus was with His apostles before He ascended to heaven, He told them that His kingdom would come in their lifetime, and it would come with power. "Verily I say to you, there are some here of them that stand by who shall in no wise taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power." Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, the American Standard Translation. Number 3, the place of origin of Jesus' church, or the church that Jesus built. Isaiah the prophet foretold the place of origin of the church that Jesus built. in his book, in Isaiah chapter 2, we began reading, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established into the top of the mountains." The Lord's house, my friends, refers to the church of the living God, which is God's house, the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The Lord's house would be established on the top of the mountains, and it would be exalted above the hills, and all nations, Isaiah says, shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The Bible reveals that it would be in the city of Jerusalem in which the word of the Lord would go forth, and the Lord's house would be established. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. While Jesus was on earth, he told his apostles to wait in the city of Jerusalem, the city that Isaiah told that it was to go forth from, for this power of the kingdom to come, and then they would begin preaching the message of faith, repentance, and baptism to all the nations, in fact, beginning at Jerusalem. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name unto all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. Chapter 24 and verse 47. Gathered with his apostles, Jesus again reminded them of their mission. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem," there's the city, "and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. In verse 12, Luke continues, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is nigh unto Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey off." Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. 10 days later, the Bible identifies the beginning date of the Lord's church. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In verse 12 of Acts chapter 2, Luke continues, "Those people that were there were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What could this mean?' Others mocking said, 'They are full of new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day.'" That would be 9 o'clock our time. Acts chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. "Peter and the apostles were preaching what Jesus had commanded them while he was with them, as we referred to back in Luke chapter 24. Now continue on in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, Luke writes, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Now move down to verse 32. Peter said, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Verse 32 affirms the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 33 declares Jesus is in heaven on God's right hand, and that he has sent the Holy Spirit guiding these men in their message. Now the Apostle Peter focuses his message directly to those who are listening, and he introduces it by the word therefore. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Many in that great audience were convinced that they had helped crucify the Son of God by their words and deeds. Now they wanted to know what they could do to get forgiveness of their sins. Peter explained how they could have remission of their sins in verse 38. Read it with me. Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. 3,000 people responded to Peter's plea after he told them to repent and be baptized. Verse 41 says, Those who gladly received his word received the word that Peter preached to them. What did he preach to them? They wanted to know what they could do to have remission of their sins. Peter told them, Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you can have those sins remitted. About 3,000 people received the word. They were baptized in that day, were added to them 3,000 souls. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Jesus said, He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Those 3,000 were baptized. Therefore, they had done what Jesus said. They were saved. The Lord adds them, those saved, to his church which he built. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church day by day those who were being saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The church is identified by several descriptive phrases in the New Testament, which include the house of God. Paul wrote, But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The church is identified as the church of God. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. It is identified as the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. The church is identified as the church of Christ. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. These phrases and others identify the ownership and nature of the church. For instance, Romans 16:16 tells us that the church belongs to Christ. The use of names and descriptions that are not found in the scriptures identify churches which Christ has not built. The followers of Jesus wear his name. They wear the name Christian. The saved wear the name of their Savior, Jesus the Christ. Luke writes, Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, and by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Jesus is the only person who can save. There is no other. Do you wear the name Christian? Do you wear the name Christian only? Or is there another attachment? Well, I'm a Christian, but there are no buts, my friends. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. The first century disciples did wear the name Christian without any handle. Believers in the days of the apostles and in the first century church were identified as Christians. They were identified by no other name, no other title, no other appellation was worn. The word Christian is mentioned three times in the New Testament. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. King Agrippa said to Paul, "Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian," Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter," 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. The scriptures clearly and unmistakably teach that Jesus is the founder of his church. Is Jesus the founder of the church you attend? Or did a man start and found the church that you're in? The teachings of Jesus form the foundation of his church. Does the church you attend follow the teachings of Jesus, or man-made manuals and creeds and writings of conventions and doctrines of men? The church that Jesus built began on Pentecost. Let me ask you, did the church you attend this morning or will attend this morning begin on Pentecost 30 AD at 9 in the morning in the city of Jerusalem? Think about it. The Lord's church began in Jerusalem. If the church that you're in did not have its origin and its beginning in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in 30 AD, it is not the church that Jesus built. Let me illustrate. There is a church that began in 606 AD in Rome, Italy, with a man. There is a church that was begun in the year 1530 AD in Wittenberg, Germany, by a man. In 1607, there was another church began in London, England, with a man by the name of John Smith. In the year 1739, in Oxford, England, another church was begun by two brothers. In the year 1830, here in the United States, in Fayette, New York, a church began with a man. Now let me ask you, were these churches the one church that Jesus built in the city of Jerusalem and established in the city of Jerusalem on 30 AD? Was the place of origin of your church in Jerusalem or some other city? The church that Jesus built is identified in the New Testament by descriptive terms and phrases showing that it belongs to Christ. Does the church you attend identify itself by a name or description that cannot be found in the pages of the New Testament? In the first century, believers were identified only as Christians. Do you wear the name Christian, or Are you identified by a denominational church name? Think about this. The Scriptures identify Jesus as the founder of His church. His teachings are the foundation of the doctrine of His church. Christians will only identify themselves by names and phrases found in the New Testament. The followers of Jesus are identified by the name Christian. The church that Jesus built began on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, 30 AD. Requirements for membership in the church that Jesus built are as follows. One must hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth, by the gospel, Romans 10 and verse 17. We must believe the truth, except we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we will die in our sins, and where He is, we cannot go, John 8, 21 and 24. We must repent of our past sins. Jesus said, repent or perish, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. We must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and 33. After confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we must be immersed in water baptism for the remission of our sins. And now, why tarry? Arise, Paul, and be baptized and wash away your sins. Are you in the church that Jesus built? You may have a question about something that we've said this morning. We have accurate documentation of dates and places of the things to which we referred. We ask you to visit the Wasilla Church of Christ or the Church of Christ in your area. We would like you to ask your preacher to identify the church that you attend. Ask him about the founder. Ask him, what are the bases of the foundation? What does the church believe? What are they supposed to believe? When is the beginning of the church that you're in? Where was the place of origin of the church that you're in? What is the name of the church that you're in? What is it known by on the sign out in the front? What is it known by in the yellow pages, in the telephone directory, on the internet? Are you in the church that Jesus built? The church that is identified in the Scriptures as the church that Jesus built? I am Wendell Fikes, and we thank you so much for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a very pleasant and prosperous good day.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. The Church of Christ at Wasilla cordially invites you to come visit us at the Pavilion at Wonderland Park, May 30th to June 3rd, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. to learn more about the fundamentals of faith from the Bible. For more information, visit churchofchristwasilla.com. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.